Healthy Alternatives. Both research and real-life experiences are making it clear every day that our traditional medical system and practices need to be rethought, revised, and recharged in light of a more holistic approach to health. Dr. Jerry V. Teplitz, host of Healthy Alternatives, has been a pioneer for 36 years in stress management and optimum health. With a Ph.D. in holistic health sciences, a law degree, and as the author of 8 books, all focused on health, stress management, and performance, Dr. Teplitz is uniquely qualified to help us explore and incorporate healthy alternatives into our daily lives. He is a professional speaker and has shared his wisdom with over 1 million people. Join him to reach your highest level of health and wellness. Now, here's Dr. Teplitz.
Welcome to Healthy Alternatives. My name is Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and you're listening to WebTalkRadio.net. What Healthy Alternatives is about is most of us really want to reach levels of optimum health, optimum wellness. We want to feel better, live longer, and enjoy life more. And that's what we look to bring to you in every show. Now, every week I like to begin the show by talking about an issue or concern you should know about because it can really have an impact on you. And this is one that can have an impact on your kids, and it's x-rays. Now, Dr. Salvador Schiavofani discovered at the department he ran at Downstate Medical Center in Brooklyn, premature babies were being over-radiated, that these newborn kids were being irradiated from head to toe, even though only a chest x-ray had actually been ordered. Technologists had actually been given the same baby about 10 whole body x-rays. A Dr. John Amodo, a pediatrician radiologist, found that such full body x-rays of premature babies had occurred often at the hospital, and their radiation levels had been set too high, and the babies had been poorly positioned. As a matter of fact, most times when they take x-rays of a child, they're actually doing it CT scans and x-rays at levels set for an adult. So what this did is started to raise questions about the whole industry, and it just turns out that in many states, people who operate radiological equipment, the technicians, are lightly regulated or not at all, and even their own professional group is calling for greater insights and standards. In 2009, physicians at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles discovered some patients had received up to 8 times the normal dose of radiation from improperly performed CT scans. And what is well known is that overexposure to radiation increases the risk of cancer. And the reason it's so high for children, and far higher than for adults, is children have smaller and thinner bones. Their cells reproduce much more quickly, so they're susceptible to aggressive cancer growth. Their eyes, their thyroid, bone marrow, gonads, these are very sensitive organs that can be affected by x-rays, and the immune system is not as developed as an adult. Now, CT scans actually deliver 100 times more radiation than a conventional scan. A mammogram can deliver 1,000 times more radiation than just a standard x-ray. As a matter of fact, the New England Journal of Medicine, in a study published there, said more than 62 million CT scans are now performed in the United States each year, versus in 1980 it was 3 million, and about one-third of these 62 million scans are unnecessary. This is according to the lead researcher in this study, David Brenner. And he predicted even that CT scans themselves may cause 3 million cancers over the next 20 to 30 years. Of those 62 million scans, at least 4 million are performed on children. And remember, x-rays are cumulative in terms of their damage. So a child may undergo 7 scans by the age of 18. And again, they're calibrated for adults. They're actually receiving 2 to 6 times the radiation action needed to produce what is quote-unquote a clear image. With dentistry, there's actually a way to get exposure reduced, except most dentists don't have the equipment. It's called a digital x-ray. It actually reduces radiation exposure by 80 to 90%. And part of the reason they don't have it is state dental boards are not pushing them to have that equipment. Orthodontists are now using a CT scan-like device that generates a 3D image. And you're talking about even more radiation that's being delivered. And a kid who's gone to orthodontist may receive 1 to 4 of these scans during the course of their treatment. Turns out there's a simple digital camera image. It requires no radiation. You'll get the same kind of image for the orthodontist. It just takes a little bit longer. Currently, most states don't require radiation errors to be reported, and if they're reported, there's no penalty for those who err. And basically, the medical imaging industry has been largely self-regulated. There's a bill in Congress that's been stuck there since 2009 called the CARE Bill, which stands for Consistent Accuracy, Responsibility, and Excellence in Medical Imaging and Radiation Therapy. You want to write your congressman, congresswoman, and let them know that they need to take this bill up. If you're going to go to a doc who wants to do an x-ray, a dentist, an orthodontist, ask them several questions. This came from University of California Berkeley Wellness letter. Is the test really necessary? What difference will it make in my care? Is there a non-radiation alternative such as ultrasound or MRIs or digital photographs? Is the facility accredited by the American College of Radiation? Will the test use the lowest level of radiation for adequate imaging, based on person's size and child size? And will the scan be limited to the indicated area and the rest of it shielded? Radiation, we don't see it, it affects us. You need to pay attention to this, especially for your kids. They want to do an x-ray. Ask them those questions as to why it needs to be done. Today, I'm going to be talking to Dr. Ernest Curtis. He received a BA in Biological Science from University of California, Berkeley, and an MD from the University of California, Irvine. He's been in private practice for 32 years, and he has written a book called The Cholesterol Delusion, which was chosen as an Indie Bookseller Award finalist in 2011. We're going to be looking at the whole notion of cholesterol, and is it real? Is it something that we should be focusing in on? I think you're going to be fascinated by what he shares. We'll be with Dr. Ernest in just a minute. If you want to know more about me, Dr. Jerry Teplitz, you can click on the globe on this page, or you can go to teplitz.com, and you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. I also do a free monthly e-newsletter. If you'd like to subscribe to that, it's health, nutrition, wellness oriented as well, on things that I don't talk about on the show. You can go to teplitz.com, teplitz.com, and you'll see on the button that says home, you'll get a drop-down menu and you can sign up there. Every week, I like to talk to you about a healthy breakthrough. It's new discoveries, the latest information about healthy alternatives you can use for yourself, your family, and loved ones. What I want to talk about today are natural remedies that you can use to create an alternative first aid kit. A lot of this comes from Matador Network, and one of the first things is to take a look at having in this kit echinacea. What echinacea does, it helps support a healthy immune system. It has antibacterial and antibiotic properties. If you start to feel an illness coming on, just dose yourself up with a tincture of echinacea, and that will help you stay healthy. Golden Seal is the second one. It also has powerful antibacterial, antibiotic, and antiparasitical ingredients. In powder form, it can be applied to open cuts to help them from being infected. So you can take it in a capsule, or you can use it on the cut directly. The third one is something called All Heal. It could be called Self Heal, Heal All. These are names for a plant that can be used as an antibiotic, antiseptic, and astringent. Next one is ginger. Ginger and peppermint, actually, can soothe upset stomachs. It can help if you tend to get car sickness, air sickness, in terms of relieving all of that, or you get seasick. Arnica is wonderful for helping remove bruises, bring down puffiness, swelling, easing deep aches and pains. And it can even alleviate headaches and help your body recover from trauma. So if you're going to go through surgery, for example, take Arnica before and after you've done the surgery. If you're going to go do something strenuous, take it before and after. Another one is clove oil. When diluted, clove oil can be used to numb your gums, mouth, and teeth when you have a toothache, especially if you can't get to the dentist right away. Then there's something called neem. Neem powder can be used as a natural insect repellent or as a non-toxic fungus-fighting food powder. Licorice tea. Licorice tea is a naturally sweet tea, and it can soothe a sore throat and actually help pick up your digestive process. And finally, lavender oil. Rubbing it on your temples, under your nose, inside your wrist, it's a natural stress reliever. It may also help relieve headache pain and promote a restful sleep, and it's also showing up as a weapon against fungus. So those are some things that you can do for yourself from a natural way of having them in your first aid kit for yourself. Before I bring on my guests, I'd like to pause for this message.
Anyone who has migraines knows that they are almost totally debilitating and hard, if not impossible, to treat. Or should we say they were impossible to treat? Dr. Jerry Teplitz's DVD, Instant Headache and Migraine Relief, delivers on its promise with a 5-minute migraine cure and a 90-second headache treatment. Learn this natural way to get rid of your migraine with the 2,000-year-old Japanese technique of shiatsu, a pressure point method that's simple and immediately effective. The Instant Headache and Migraine Relief DVD also features bonus techniques for treating sore throats, stiff necks, and shoulder pain. No pills, no herbs, no waiting, just relief. Jack Canfield, co-author of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, learned these techniques from Dr. Teplitz and says, "These techniques are so practical, so powerful, so simple. They've done it for me and my family. They can do it for you too." Click on the DVD cover on the page in front of you for more information. Instant Headache and Migraine Relief comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. There's no reason to wait. Click on it now.
My guest today is Dr. Ernest Curtis. He received a BA in Biological Science from University of California, Berkeley, and his MD from the University of California, Irvine. After a residency in internal medicine and a fellowship in cardiology, he entered private practice in Long Beach, California, where he's practiced for the last 32 years. And he recently released the book, The Cholesterol Delusion, and it was chosen as a 2011 Indie Excellence Award finalist. So, Dr. Ernest, welcome to Healthy Alternatives.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
Since you're writing about the cholesterol delusion, why don't you tell us first what the theory out there is about cholesterol nowadays?
Well, the theory is that cholesterol levels in the blood, when they are elevated, are a chief cause of the development of atherosclerotic plaques in the arteries. And this is commonly known as hardening of the arteries.
And what's the research under this this theory?
Oh, Lord, that's going to take a while, but to be brief, it started back in the 1870s when a German pathologist was looking for a cause for these plaques he found in the arteries of patients that he was doing autopsies on. And so he ground up a lot of this material and had it chemically analyzed and found a lot of cholesterol there. He found a lot of other things as well, but he thought that the cholesterol might be a predominant factor, and he developed a theory that the cholesterol from the blood infiltrated the wall and caused these plaques. And others built on this over the years, and I could go on for about an hour to describe this. I don't know how much detail you want on this.
Just a little bit more in terms of what's some of the current proof, quote unquote, that's out there.
Well, the most what's called the definitive study by the people who propagate this theory is called the Lipid Research Clinics trial, which was completed in the mid-1980s, and a major article published in the Journal of American Medical Association heralding this as the final proof of the cholesterol theory. And when you strip this study down to its bare bones, what they came up with was an insignificant difference between the group that was treated to lower cholesterol versus the group that was not, in terms of what they call coronary events, meaning death from heart attack or heart attacks that the people survived. The actual numerical difference was 7% for the group given a drug to lower cholesterol and 8.6% for the group to who was the control group and given no drug. What they did is they used a little statistical manipulation to present this as a much larger difference than it was. They changed the criteria that they had established prior to the study for statistical significance, and then reported it out this way. In my book, I actually reproduced the entire study and the detailed critique of it.
So they really were doing bogus research in terms of how they were reporting their results.
Absolutely.
But that's become the accepted theory because of that. And so when somebody says, you know, you got to lower your cholesterol and you've got all this damage that's going to occur, that doesn't have a reality to it, is what you're saying.
No. Yes, exactly. What I'm saying is that there's no legitimate science backing this theory.
So does cholesterol actually play a role, from your standpoint, in arterial sclerosis?
No. Not a causative role.
So it's none whatsoever, is what you're saying.
Yes.
It's just kind of a factor that's there, but it's not a harmful factor.
I'm saying it's not a causative factor.
Okay, causative factor. Great.
Yeah, it does not bring it about. You do find cholesterol in many of the plaques. You also find a number of plaques with very little or no cholesterol. It depends on what stage of development they are. What we don't really know the answer to the question as to why it's there, but it would be reasonable to assume that it's due to the breakdown of cells in the center of this mass that's developing there as the plaque.
Now, from what I understand, the body actually makes its own cholesterol. So if you're attempting to cut out cholesterol, the body's needs to make it because it uses it in all kinds of bodily functions. Is that correct?
Cholesterol is actually one of the most important biochemical compounds in nature. Our bodies are made up of trillions of individual cells, and each cell is contained within a cell membrane, and the cell membrane is designed to obviously keep the contents of the cell inside, but also governs what can go in and out of the cell. There's a tremendous movement of products back and forth, nutrients going in, waste products going out, etc. And these cell membranes are almost entirely composed of cholesterol, and cholesterol-derived compounds. Cholesterol is also the basis for the formation of many of the most important hormones in the body. We just couldn't live without it, and that's why our bodies make 80 to 90% of it.
A lot of people are taking statins because of quote-unquote high cholesterol. I assume you believe that this is they shouldn't be doing that. Would that be correct?
Correct.
And tell us more about what you think about statins and how they're affecting people then.
Well, people are taking statins with the idea that lowering the cholesterol is going to help them prevent or slow down the development and progression of this atherosclerosis and the risk of its complications, which is what we really fear, and those complications being chiefly heart attack and stroke. Really, the sole purpose of my book is to show that the elevated cholesterol is not a significant causative agent and that people don't need to worry about it at all. If you review the evidence carefully, you can only conclude that the cholesterol level is irrelevant to health and disease. Therefore, no need to take drugs or diet to try to lower cholesterol.
Now, I also know in some of the original statin research, they were also looking at people needing to take coenzyme Q10. And I know in Canada, they have that recommendation, but in the States, they left that out totally. And now, from what I understand, there's lots of disease and illnesses kinds of things occurring from people taking the statins without coenzyme Q10. Can you want to talk about that a bit?
Well, there's plenty of side effects and potential complications from the statin drugs, some lethal and some not. I'll describe the two lethal ones first. They are rather rare, I'll say that, but people have experienced complete wipeout of their liver from taking statins, and people have died from this. The statins can also cause a very widespread breakdown in the body's normal muscle tissue, and this floods the system with protein and causes the kidneys to fail, and people have died from this as well. This is why people that take the drugs have to have their blood tested all the time, because should the blood start to show evidence of increased liver enzymes or muscle enzymes, the drug must be stopped. Because this may be a precursor to this more massive damage that has occurred. In addition to this, in my experience, just talking to people that are taking them, about half the people that take the drug seem to feel poorly on it. They have aches, pains. Some people have a lot of neurologic or mental dysfunction. There was one doctor who, in fact, wrote an entire book about side effects of cholesterol after he had put on one of these drugs. And all of these things taken together, coupled with the absence of any benefit, I can only recommend to people that they not take them at all.
So before we continue, I'd like to remind you, you're listening to Healthy Alternatives with Dr. Jerry Teplitz on webtalkradio.net. And we'll be back with my guest, Dr. Ernest Curtis, talking about the cholesterol delusion in just a moment.
Every one of us is under stress from work, family, the economy, layoffs, the inability to retire. These are the realities today. Even if you're doing okay, we all have friends and relatives experiencing hard times. Hey, just watching the news can make you nervous. Make no mistake, there's nothing benign about stress. It can lead to high blood pressure, digestive problems, difficulty concentrating, and increased risk of disease. That's why Dr. Jerry Teplitz wrote the book Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change. He presents easy, effective techniques to reduce stress, eliminate pain, relieve insomnia, and gain an overall sense of well-being. Managing Your Stress is fully illustrated and provides hands-on, proven methods you can use immediately. Dr. Teplitz knows how to cut to the chase. He begins working with you from the very first page of Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change. Click on the cover that you see on the webtalkradio.net page in front of you and buy it now. It comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee, and it will change your life.
So my guest today is Dr. Ernest Curtis. He received a BA in Biological Science from University of California, Berkeley, and he has an MD from the University of California, Irvine. He did a residency in internal medicine and a fellowship in cardiology, and then he entered private practice in Long Beach, California, and he's practiced there for the last 32 years, and he's written The Cholesterol Delusion, and this was chosen as a 2011 Indy Excellence Award finalist. So we're talking about the whole notion of cholesterol and, in effect, when he says the delusion, he really means that. But what do you think, Dr. Ernest, is underneath the epidemic
of heart disease that we're experiencing in this country?
Well, to tell the truth, I don't really think we're experiencing an epidemic.
Okay.
The fact is we're living longer, and as longevity increases, diseases associated with aging will always increase as well. But the key point, and I make a big point of this in the book, is that statistics for death from heart disease are completely unreliable. They're in that they're taken from the causes of death listed on death certificates, and these are notoriously inaccurate.
Now, who do you think benefits from the information that you provide about cholesterol and statins and let's also triglycerides? So first, let's tell our listeners, in case they're not aware of it, what triglycerides are.
Triglycerides are the most common form of fats in our diet and in our blood.
So are they good, they bad, they in the middle?
they're good. They have lots of beneficial effects, and they really have no deleterious effects per se.
Okay, so who do you think will benefit most from the information you've got in your book about cholesterol levels, statins, and also now triglycerides that we're just talking about?
Well, I think anyone who has been told that they must modify their diet and or take medications to lower their cholesterol level will benefit from reading this counter-argument that you don't really get in too many other places.
Yeah, I think I recollect seeing somewhere a statistic that said 50% of the people who die from heart disease don't even have high cholesterol. So have you seen that kind of a statistic as well?
Yes. In fact, the people who have heart attacks, you'll find them distributed evenly throughout the entire range of cholesterol, from very low levels to high.
So you also have a what you call a diet heart theory in your book. Can you tell our listeners about that?
Well, the diet heart theory is really a subset of the lipid theory or cholesterol theory. The diet heart theory just holds that that it's excessive saturated fats and cholesterol in the diet that cause the cholesterol in the blood to be at a higher level, and then bring about the damage that it's said to do.
And in terms of diet and nutrition, what do you say to patients about that? In terms of if they do have high cholesterol, should they be paying attention or doing anything around that?
No, I've always told patients to eat what they like, ignore their cholesterol level, and absolutely avoid cholesterol-lowering drugs.
And what's your thought about the theory about inflammation now that's coming about, in terms of that potentially being more of a cause of the difficulty with what's called C-reactive protein and those kinds of things?
Well, it's hard to say. You have to differentiate the underlying process of atherosclerosis, which is present in everybody. To one degree or another, people differ in severity, but everybody's got it. And the actual precipitation of a heart attack or stroke—that is a rather abrupt and sudden event caused by a disruption in the lining of the artery. Although certainly atherosclerosis can set the stage for that, we may be looking at two entirely different phenomena. And I think that the role that inflammation might play would be in the latter, in the actual sudden, abrupt disruption of the lining that leads to the heart attack or the stroke.
Are there any kind of vitamin supplements that you recommend to help people keep their heart strong, or exercise particularly?
No, I really haven't seen any evidence that any of those things are really very helpful.
And if somebody wanted to get your book, how could they go about doing that?
You can go on Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com and just type in the title, Cholesterol Delusion. I have a website, cholesteroldelusion.com, any of those ways.
Great. So for listeners, if you want to learn more about what Dr. Ernest Curtis is talking about, you can go to his website at cholesteroldelusion.com. Dr. Ernest, thank you for being a guest today on Healthy Alternatives.
Thank you for having me.
Next week, my guest is going to be Kathy Casey, the Healthy Boomer Body Expert. She's a health and wellness coach. She's an Amazon best-selling author, popular speaker, radio show guest. She's been on Fox 23, ABC 8 Evening News. She has her own TV show, To Your Health. And she's written columns in a number of papers, the Shore, South Shore Senior News, Boomers Forever, Boomer Living. She's the founder of Healthy Boomer Body Center in the Berkshires of Massachusetts, and she's got a book out called Stop Back Pain that became an international bestseller on Amazon. We're going to be talking with her about a whole variety of ways that you can use to stop back pain for yourself and healing methods that you can use to really help you stay healthy for yourself. You're not going to want to miss this one. This is Dr. Jerry Teplitz. You can find out more about me at teplitz.com or follow me on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being with us today for Healthy Alternatives. For more information about Dr. Teplitz and his availability for speaking engagements, please click on the globe on the webtalkradio.net page in front of you or go to teplitz.com. You may also follow him on Facebook and Twitter by using the icons on the page. To find out more about his books, please click on any of the book covers you see. Eat well, rest well, take a breath, get some exercise, and we'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Healthy Alternatives.